So that's Mark chapter 14, verses 32-52. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked.
Well, good morning once again, everyone. It's good to see you all here. I would like to extend a welcome again to those who might be new in our midst. Maybe this is your first time or your first few times. It's lovely to have you with us. You're very welcome to stay with us afterwards for church lunch. I'll say a bit more about that at the end. And also welcome to all those who are listening to us by live streaming. It really works well. I was using it when we were away, and driving back a few weekends ago in the car, we could hear the service in utter clarity. So welcome to all those who are listening like that. Hello, Bethel. I know you're listening. Bethel writes to me often after services. So hello, Bethel. We love you and we hope that you're doing well. A couple of things just sort of with a welcome theme before I start. I want to mention to you that if you are relatively new among us, say the last few months, certainly if you haven't been to a newcomer's dinner, then I'm extending an invitation to you to join us on Saturday the 23rd of February for a newcomer's dinner. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Food is wonderful. It's just a lovely time to get to know some of the people at the church. It's all for free. So if that is you and you want to connect a bit, please come. I'd love to see you there. And you can sign up for that in the foyer. We need you to do that so we can get the numbers right and cater appropriately. And then secondly, still thinking sort of welcome, if you are new, I want to bring to your attention a series of Bible studies that we're starting called Plug In. They really are a pathway, if you are new in our midst, to meet new people and get a sense of what we believe, what are the key things we believe. And then from there, if you want to, you can then move on to normal Bible studies. So do look at Plug In. And then you can sign up for that in the foyer as well. That's starting on the 26th of February, Tuesday, 26th February, 7:30 to 9 p.m. And then I want to also just mention to our Chinese congregation, those of Chinese ethnicity, Happy New Year. I know it started last Tuesday, and I understand it goes on for 15 days. And some of you have been telling me, I've asked you, what's it all about? And you said to me, a lot of eating. And so I'm glad you can celebrate, and I do wish you well and those around you who are your family and your friends a great further celebration. And I believe we might have some Chinese New Year-themed food later on, so we look forward to that. Right, now, we've had the passage read. It is not just that passage. This is a topical series on prayer that we begin today. And let's begin and think a bit about prayer as we ask the Lord to teach us to pray. Well, the BBC production, The Antics Roadshow, it absolutely intrigues me. I've mentioned this to you before, I think, in sermons. Some of the objects that are brought there are mysterious. And as they are presented, you look at it and you think, what is that thing? And you can't wait for the expert to tell you what it is. In fact, I can see Carolyn laughing at the back there, because this morning my youngest said to Carolyn that she thinks she needs to take me to the Antiques Roadshow as an item. She's very cheeky, but that's because I tease her. I deserve every bit of it from her. I tease her too. One episode of the Antiques Roadshow had a jar that was dug up at some old English site somewhere. Some old building. And inside the jar, they found nail clippings, they found human hair, and they even found a vial of urine in there from 400 years ago. And it sounds disgusting. And it is disgusting because it turned out, you're looking at this, you're going, what is this? It turned out to be a witch's jar. So something sinister in that respect. But the object that's appearing on the screen now came at a recent show, and it looks like a pot. A brother and a sister were out in the field somewhere near Cheltenham in England, and they found this hanging in a tree. And when they retrieved it from the tree, they found a scroll inside that. And an expert at the Antiques Roadshow said that that scroll was a mantra that goes inside a Tibetan prayer wheel. And so that pot you see is part of a prayer wheel. It would have a spindle that goes onto it, so that it could then be swung around and caused to spin. And the spinning, they believe, broadcasts the prayer to the heavens. Now, I find it quite sad. Here is an attempt to communicate with the higher realm, but it's so unrelational and it's so distant, this trying to connect. It seems like a lot of effort to try and be heard. You need this special device. You need to swing the device around. This is not how it is with a true God. With a true God, no special devices, no rituals. The true God hears the prayers of his people. You just ask. Have a look, if you can flick back in your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 7. One book back. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 to 11, here Jesus talks about the kind of relationship that, if you're a Christian, that you have with your Heavenly Father. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, says Jesus. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Our Father wants to give us good things in the context, ask him and we come into his kingdom. You just have to ask. And he wants to give us good things in our lives. Many of the things we might ask for, he may not give us because he's got good reason for that. All towards our good in the end, not that we necessarily understand. But the point I want to give to you here is that you just have to ask. Just ask your Father. What makes the difference here? What makes it like this? And the answer is that our God is a heavenly Father. He's a Father. He's a Father in all the fullness that a good father is meant to be. Yes, it's true. We know that there are many fathers in this world who are evil. There are many fathers who have hurt their children. But there are also many good fathers. Even the good fathers are not perfect, though. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, He is truly good. He is ultimately good. There's nothing evil in Him at all. But there's no Heavenly Father in the religions of the world. There's no direct speaking to God Himself in the religions of the world. And I can say that confidently because the Bible tells us this. The Bible says you cannot know God in the other systems. John 14 verse 6, it's a scripture many know. We know it well. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, the question this morning is, why pray? I'm exploring this question. We have a series, of course, as you know. Lord, teach us to pray. I'm exploring it because we're not good at prayer. It is a struggle in the Christian life. It's a struggle to make it a priority. How is your prayer life? When you think about your own life, how is it going? Do you have a speaking relationship with God? Do you have time set aside in your day where you stop, where you pause to speak to your Heavenly Father? Do you speak to Him as you go about your day? Is there prayer as you go for a walk and you appreciate His beauty? Is there prayer as you drive your car and driving and you think of a friend that's in need? Is there prayer as you read a line in a book and it reminds you of some concern that you have? You read the newspaper and you see the evils of our world. Is there prayer then as you ask the Lord to work in those sad contexts? Do you pray with other Christians? Do you pray with your family? I'm not saying you have to tick all those boxes. What I'm just asking you to consider is prayer in your life? Is there anything of this in your life? If not, if the answer to those questions is essentially no, 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 prayer is not really featuring in my life, then something is wrong. And we need to be encouraged to change it. And so this morning, the question is, why pray? And I want to give you one main compelling reason that would encourage you to be a person who prays. Why pray? Because God is Father. This motivates me more than any other reason. God is my Father. And by Father, I don't mean that He is my Creator. So some in the world will say, yes, He's the Father of everything and of everyone. He created everything. And while that is true to some extent, this is not what the Bible means when the Bible talks about our Heavenly Father. He is only the Heavenly Father, the spiritual Father of those who have come to know Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I read earlier on, John 14, 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 8, you find Jesus talking to Jewish leaders who reject Him. Have a listen to what He says to them in verses 42 to 44 of John 8. He says, if God were your Father, because they claim God is, if God were your Father, you would love me. I came from God and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Why is it that they cannot bear to hear his word? He goes on and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. If Jesus does not feature in your life as the one that you love, and to love him means to hear his word, to receive his word, unlike those in John 8 who cannot bear his word. It is to follow him and to follow all he taught. If you're not doing that, if he does not matter to you, Jesus, then I can confidently say to you, God is not your father. But I know most of you, as Christian people, God is your father. And this means that you have a special relationship with him that others don't have. Most of the world cannot access him, but you can. You have intimate access to the one who runs the entire universe. Why is it then, when we have that, that we are prayerless? That we have seasons of prayerlessness in our lives like that? What relationship has no communication? When a couple stop talking to one another, they're in trouble and they need to see a counselor. Work needs to be done. One of my favorite pictures from history, from recent history, and I've shown it before in a sermon, is the one of John Kennedy Jr. playing under his father's desk. There he is, under the desk of, at the time, the most powerful man in the world, John F. Kennedy. This little individual that you see in the picture has access to that man. Close access. If we had been living at that time, we could not have that kind of access because we do not have the relationship that opens the door of access. But we have something far greater, far, far greater, immeasurably greater than that of young Kennedy to his dad. We have ready access at any time, to the throne room of the universe. Remember these words from last year? We studied the book of Revelation, and for those of you who weren't here, that was a major feature of last year's sermon series. Remember these words from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Perhaps you want to flick over there. It's good to see it. Chapter 5 and verse 8. As you're turning there, this is this moment when John gets a glimpse into the throne room of heaven, this control center, much more than the Oval Office of the White House, infinitely more, immeasurably more. He gets a glimpse and he sees what's going on. And we have these words, Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. And look what else they're holding. And golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. What a thing to see. What a powerful thing. Here he sees the Lamb, that's the Lord Jesus. He sees Jesus take the scroll that's all about the history of the world, where the world is going. And we learned last time when we did this last year that scroll being taken by Jesus means that he's the one who unfurls history. He unfurls the future. What's coming is under his control. He determines it. And in this astonishing moment, heavenly beings fall down before the Lamb. They recognize his greatness. And what are they holding? They're holding these bowls, these golden bowls of incense. And what is this incense? It's the prayers of the saints. Saints means believers. Some will tell you that saints are particularly special Christians, and some churches teach that. That is not biblical. If you're a Christian, you are a saint. This incense is the prayers of Christians. Our prayers. Prayers that were said a moment ago from this pulpit. Your prayers as you pray to the Lord through your day. That's what's in the bowl. And what is the value of these prayers as they come to the throne room? Are they just a buzz in the Lord's ears? Are they just incidental to all the activity going on in heaven? Are they just part of the heavenly routine, like your morning cup of coffee or your exercise scheme that you have? No. They're much more than that. What are these incense prayers carried in? Is it a styrofoam bowl or a plastic bowl like we're going to use a little bit later for church lunch? Is it cheap IKEA tempered glass? Is the bowl carrying the prayers a Royal Doulton porcelain bowl? No. They are golden bowls. Believers, your prayers are not only just accessing the control room of the universe, but they are precious to the Lord. He values them. He wants them. And I'm not surprised, because he is our heavenly Father. He wants to hear from his children. And so allow me to ask again, how does prayer feature in your life? Are there prayers in the golden bowls that are before the throne right now? Are there prayers in there that are your prayers? If you are weak on prayer, if it just doesn't happen in your life, if it's not a feature, then I want to say this to you with respect, that you are foolish. But I want to also hasten to add that there are many patches in my life where I struggle with prayer, where there's prayerlessness in my life. Think about all this, particularly as I was preparing the sermon. I think, Craig, those moments you fool when golden bowls of what you say go to the Lord. We have the ear of the all-powerful one. How foolish not to speak to him. Well, our Heavenly Father, we need him. We need him to get through this life. We need him to help us with the little things and to help us with the big things. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not going to bother him with the little things, but he's our Heavenly Father. Listen to these words from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul reminds the believers, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A scripture like that tells you that there is nothing that you have to keep away from the Lord. You can bring anything to him. I've asked the Lord to help me to find things that are lost. It just seems so trivial. Couldn't find my passport once. Had to get to a meeting where I needed it. Couldn't find it. Hunting everywhere, all over the house, getting desperate. I must have spent an hour looking for it. And I stopped and I prayed. Usually it's Kerry that says, have you prayed? You ask God. And I tell you, it was like a flash in my mind, go to your jacket pocket. And I did, and there it was. Come to your Father with anything. He loves you. You come to him like a child. If he doesn't answer you, he's got good reasons for that. Remember what we saw earlier on? He does what is for our good. And a lot of that is mystery. We don't necessarily know. But he does what is for our good. As we saw in Matthew chapter 7. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But there are some big things that we also need to ask for his help in. We will struggle to cope if we don't ask him. And one of those big things is his help that we might keep faithful to him, that we might keep walking in times of trouble. Perhaps we're under pressure. There's temptation to sin in a certain way. We need his help not to give in to sin. We need his help when we are fearful. Perhaps we're tempted to stop walking with Jesus because we face persecution. We mocked right through to perhaps things that Sam and Penny might face, terrible, hard things, and we come under pressure. And I want you to see how those hard moments What we must do is turn to the Lord in prayer and ask him for help. I want you to see how this is shown to us so well in the passage that we read this morning from Mark chapter 14. So if you flick to other parts of the Bible, let's be back at Mark 14, 32, on to 52. There we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why is he in the garden? Because he's going to pray. Have a look at verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Why is he going to pray? Because he is facing the worst moment of his life on earth. He is facing, just in a few hours' time, the dread of the cross, where he's going to take upon himself the full wrath of God for the sins of the world, for the sins of all who would believe. Look at verse 33. Look how distressed he is. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. When you get deep into the story and you look at all the accounts of it, this is where the sweating of blood happens. This is dread like you can't imagine. And look at verse 36. Here is his prayer. Abba, Father. He's talking to the Heavenly Father. And he says, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. He appeals to the Father and he says that he needs help to go on. He does not relish the thought of what is to come. But to be able to go on with the mission of saving the lost who will come to him through history to come, through history past, who trusted in God to save them, he must go on. And he needs help. And so do we as we go through life. If we don't have the Lord's help, then we struggle to continue on in Jesus. Look what happens next as Jesus goes back to his disciples who are elsewhere in the garden. Look at verses 37 and 38. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the question at this point is, what temptation is Peter facing? Is he thinking of stealing something? What's the temptation? Is he thinking of an inappropriate relationship? Well, let's keep going. Jesus goes back to pray, and when he returns, again, he finds the disciples asleep. Now, let's think about how things work out for him from then onwards. The story continues. An arresting party comes. Judas is with them. And they've got swords and they've got clubs. And how do the disciples end up responding to all that? What do they do with all this? Well, it ends up like what you see in verse 50. And they all left him and fled. They've given in to fear. It seems that one man follows a little bit. We're told he isn't wearing anything but a linen cloth around his body. Verse 51 and 52. A young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But clearly, he managed to get hold of the linen cloth, and he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. He is so much not going to stick with Jesus. He'd rather be embarrassed and seen running through the streets naked than to stay with Jesus. He fails to stick with Jesus. He gives in to the temptation to stop following Jesus. That is what they were supposed to be praying about. They didn't do it. They just went to sleep. They needed help. They didn't ask for it. We do help to carry on. He helps us in the little things, and he helps us in the big things. You read the prayers of the New Testament, and you'll find that these are prayers about strength to keep going. So many are. Strength to keep going. Asking for the Lord's help, that churches might be spiritually mature and stand strong to stand up against temptation. There's so many prayers like that. These should be our prayers too. We have a Heavenly Father who helps us in little things and big things. Are there regular prayers in your life? Does prayer feature in your life? you have a father. You have a father to turn to. If in your life you're not really praying, or if you're going through a season where you're not praying and it's not featuring, come to your father and ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for forgiveness for treating him so unrelationally, for treating him with disregard. He is the prodigal father that we know so well in that story. He loves you. He wants you to come back. He wants you to talk to him. He is abundantly forgiving. You do not need to come cowering. You can come to arms of love. Repent of not praying and start to make prayer part of your life. Some people say, well, I don't really know exactly how to do it. Well, keep coming to the series and we will be touching on this. Come in the evening as well. The evening part is going to start, I think, next week. And then we'll jump over the special evangelistic event. And then after that, we will continue in the evening. Come to that. But let me recommend the book to you that we've been talking about as a great help. It really is a great help. It is excellent in shaping a healthy prayer life. It's called Prayer and the Voice of God. And if you want to access a copy, it tells you how to do so on the front page of the news notes. But let's be a people who are a praying people. Let's make sure that prayer features in our lives. Amen.